And if you're joining us online, I'll invite you or welcome you as well. Praise God. Book of Mark, chapter 16, and we're just going to read these first seven verses. It says that when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. They were alarmed, but he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Now go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he said to you." I want you to take note again of what it said in verse 3. And what is the final question in the Gospel of Mark, these women making their way to the tomb asked themselves, "Who will roll away the stone?" And I want to preach to you on this Resurrection Sunday about the testimony of the stone. You wouldn't mind just laying your Bible down and lifting up your hands just one more time. And I just want to invite the presence of God in this place and just let him begin to speak to us. Lord, I hope, Lord, that today, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared to receive your word. Lord, that our minds would be ready to process what you are trying to do in this place, Lord, in me and in my life. Lord, I pray if there's any barrier, if there's anything, Lord, that would be a hindrance to me receiving your word, Lord, and from moving and doing, God, what you're all calling me to do, Lord, that those barriers would be cast aside. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, that you would just use me as a mouthpiece, Lord, for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. I bless you. You can be seated here today. It's fascinating to me that when you look at the Bible, you can find unusual things that are given a voice. You're only just a few pages into the very opening book of the Bible when God says that Abel's blood cried out from the ground. This was a witness against Cain because he had killed his brother. But it tells us that the blood itself was crying out to God. In the book of Exodus, we see that God speaks from a bush. In Numbers, a donkey speaks. Jesus even says in Luke 19 that if the people held their peace, the rocks would cry out in worship. We see over and over again these inanimate objects, or maybe animate but inaudible objects, given a voice. These things that could not speak, they are supernaturally able to speak. Of course, this voice was not always audible. Maybe to God, he was able to hear the worship of the rocks, and he's able to hear the blood that was crying out from the ground. But God is giving these things a voice. He would use these objects to tell a story, to serve as this visible representation of what God was doing spiritually in the lives of people. Perhaps no single object served that purpose more often than stones. It was stones that testified of the place where God met Jacob in that place in Bethel. It was stones that were carried out of the Jordan River, and they were placed inside the promised land and stacked upon one another as a memorial so that in days to come, the people of Israel, the children and generations to come, that they could see and know about the delivering power of God. Though never audible in Scripture, the testimony of the stones speaks loudly to those who are willing to hear the testimony that they would say. In our opening text here today, the Bible says that when the Sabbath passed, you have Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, who went and they purchased some spices. And they were doing this in order to anoint the body of Jesus. He had been laid in that tomb. This tomb that had been purchased and hewn out of the stone. And his body had been placed there after his crucifixion. And there, nobody had been able to go in and to anoint his body, as was the custom. This was what they did in that day in order to serve that person and to make their to render their life with some purpose at the end of their days. For them, it was not merely an act of anointing, but it was the great love that they had for Jesus that was being poured out on him. It was even a demonstration of affection and admiration. It was worship, really, that these women were coming to do on that day. This was their final act of worship, their symbol of love for Jesus Christ, the one who had shaken a nation and shaken their world. These women whose lives had been completely upended by Jesus had just seen him die. They had known his body to be buried in this tomb, in this tomb that was hewn out of the rock, and they were going there for this final act of worship to bring these spices unto him. But as they drew nearer to that place of burial, the sun just rising from their journey, they began to wonder aloud amongst themselves and ask this question: who is going to roll away the stone? How are we going to get to him? See, these women, they had awakened in the darkness in the early hours of the day. And as soon as Passover was over, it says, now they're able and allowed to go on this journey. So they were looking for this very first opportunity to worship. In the darkness, they began to go towards that tomb, to go where Jesus was at. But while the darkness was still present, here they're now faced with the reality of their present place, that there was something that was standing between them and Jesus. These women continued to make their way to the tomb with an act of worship in their hands, but they had some doubt in their minds of whether or not they would be able to give it. Here they were. They came in their passionate pursuit of Jesus, but before they could ever get close, they had this doubt that was already pushing them back from Jesus. Who's going to roll away the stone? I want to get to Jesus, but how are we even going to do it? I want to get to where he's at. I want to worship him, but there's a stone that's between us and him. Who will roll away the stone? How are we going to get to him when there's something in the way? See, these women, they hear no other voices other than the voice of doubt in their mind. But yet, they continue to walk forward. They continue to go to where Jesus was at. For them, the doubt didn't stop them. They kept walking. For some reason, they didn't let the darkness dissuade them, and yet they kept pursuing their purpose to worship him. And as they walk, it says that the sun began to rise. And as they approached the tomb, it tells us that suddenly they recognized that the obstacle that they did not know how they would move it had already been removed. that this 1 to 2 ton boulder, this thing that there was no way that these women, these three women, would be able to move this aside, that it had already been rolled away, this thing that separated them from their worship, the impossible object that stood between them and Jesus. It was not where they thought it would be. The stone had already been rolled away. And now, what once served as an obstacle could now stand as a testimony that God can do what I never can do. That my doubts in the darkness can be driven away when I see the light, and that God is already a couple of steps ahead of me and has already made a way for me to have access to Him. See, I preach to you about the testimony of the stone today, that it might be a word that could speak into our hearts about the things that stand in the way between us and Jesus. If you can listen, you can hear it for yourself. It shouts loudly. If you would just keep on walking, God will start working. If you worship in the darkness, God is going to give you joy in the morning. If you keep on walking towards Him, even with the doubt in your mind, God will meet you there at the end of the journey. If you keep on walking, I know sometimes it looks dark as we walk towards Him. I know sometimes we have doubts in our mind that tell us it is impossible for us to really reach Him and to really get the into His presence like we want to get. And I know that you don't know what or how or when it will happen. But the testimony of the stone tells us God wants you to have access to Him. Nothing is impossible with God. See, here's what I know, without exception, is that it took effort on all of our parts in this place, on all of us to get here into this place. You set your alarm, you picked out your outfits. Many of you maybe fought your kids as you were getting them dressed this morning, maybe even your spouse as you were on your way here this morning, but you successfully managed all of that to avoid violence in the process, and you got here on this Easter Sunday so that you could be here at church. See, many of us were here this morning, and you made your way into this place, and I believe that the reason that you're here is because you want to touch Jesus. You want to bring some worship to Him. You want to come into this place and to even feel His presence draw near to you. But somewhere in between when you arrived and now, there's some doubt that begins to creep in, some things that we begin to question in our mind of, what about all these things that stand in the way of me and Jesus? Unlike those Or just like those women in Mark chapter 16, we have a stone. We have things that are separating us and Him. And we ask ourselves in the back of our mind, even with the drive to want to worship Him, we have in the back of our mind this doubt that says, who is going to move the immovable object that separates me from Jesus? Your pursuit of Jesus, sometimes it feels as if it's impeded by sizable concerns and these overwhelming questions that we have in our mind. And you too have worship in your hands, but you have doubt in your minds. That you come with a worship that you want to give Him, but yet there's doubt in your mind that says, will He receive it? You come with worship in your heart and you want to come into His presence, but you say, will He accept me? Will I be accepted when I come in? What will I feel? What about my past? What about all these things that I have stacked up against me? These things that come between me and Jesus. How can I really get to where He's at? How can I truly pour myself out to Him and give Him the worship that He is worthy of? You see, for these women, it seemed impossible, but they kept on walking. For these women, it looked futile and like failure was imminent, but they kept pursuing their end goal of getting to Jesus. and said, I know that there's a stone in the way, but I am going to make a way somehow to get to Him and to bring my worship to Him, because He is everything to me. He is everything to me, and I need to worship Him. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to worship Jesus. If you could just hear me today, before they ever heard the testimony of the angel, they witnessed the testimony of the stone. The things that you cannot handle on your own, Jesus can handle. The things that you cannot figure out, He has already figured them out for you. That the things that you, that when you decide, I want to get to Jesus, He will remove every blockade. He will remove every barrier. Whatever it takes to get to Him, He says, I'm going to make the path straight. I'm going to make it clear. I want you to come to me. Nothing will stop you when you begin to draw yourself to Jesus. That voice within your own mind, the voice of others, don't let them be a stumbling block to get to Jesus. See, the testimony of the stone is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us. It doesn't matter if it seems as insurmountable as this 1 to 2 ton stone that is standing in the way of these women in their worship of Jesus. Nothing can stand in the way and separate us from the love of God. See, I preach to you today that He has already rolled away the stone. The testimony of the stone is that even today, He can remove every obstacle that separates you and Him. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Let Him deal with the obstacles. You just keep on making your way to worship Him. See, sometimes we feel as if this is a task for us to do ourselves. That we have to get everything figured out. That we on our own selves need to get our whole life straightened out in order to come and to worship Him. But He didn't ask you to get everything straightened out in order to come to worship Him. He said, just make your way to me. And just as you are, and I'll receive you. I'll receive you unto me. See, He's not asking for you to roll away the stone. He's not asking for you to remove the obstacles. He's just saying, come, come, come. See, God, He forgives you of your sin. And when you come to Him, you can see that that's a testimony. The testimony of the stone. It's speaking to you that He has already risen. He has already paid the price. He has already made a way. See, I know sometimes as you make your way to Him, it's dark. The sun, I promise you, it is going to rise. And when the sun rises, you're going to see the testimony of God's goodness in your life. And you're going to see, you know what? As I look back at all those things that I thought were too big for me, that I thought that were going to stand in my way of God, He already removed them. He already made it possible for me to come in and to experience new life in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, whether or not you've been on this journey for just a few days, or you've been on this for your entire life, there are still things in us that we experience, that we feel as if stand in our way between us and Him. And I'm telling you today, don't let the recent mistakes, the past mistakes, any kind of barrier that is in your way, stop you from pursuing Jesus. See, for them, it was a great big stone. But God is greater than the stone. In the book of John chapter 8, it tells us, now early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and He taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees, they brought to Him this woman who was caught in adultery. When they set her in the midst, they said to Him, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, he commanded us that she should be stoned. What do you say? This they said because they were testing Him, that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and He wrote on the ground with His finger as if He did not hear. See, this woman, she had been brought to Jesus. The accusation was that she had been caught in the very act of adultery. Now here she is, surrounded by all of these stones in these men's hands. All these stones saying, you just wait. You know what's about to happen. The accuser's stones looking down upon her. But Jesus simply stooped down and he wrote in the ground with his finger, acting as if he did not even hear them. When they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the stone first. Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground, and then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman who was standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, what's interesting about this story to me is that it's never recorded that she spoke a word when her accusers were present. Here she is, surrounded by these great stones that were about to be hurled at her, ending her life. She's thrown at the feet of Jesus, and yet here she is, she's speechless. Now, I'll tell you that the accuser has stones that he wants to put between you and your new life. His stones, they'll say to you, I know who you are. I saw what you did. I know the mistakes that you've made. They'll tell you, you don't deserve a second chance. They'll tell you, your life is over. So you've made too many mistakes. In fact, you deserve to die. These are the accuser's stones. And yet here is this woman, she remains at the feet of Jesus, speechless. And in so doing, she discovers what all of us in this place today can discover, that Jesus will deal with the accuser's stones as well. See, Jesus, he didn't excuse her sins, but he dealt with the stones that her past sins brought with them. Now, preach to every person who is dealing right now with the guilt of past mistakes, and you hear the accuser telling you that you've gone too far. There's a circle of stones that are surrounding you, just as they were on that woman, terrifying her, her being worried that this would be the end. And yet, those stones ended up being a testament, a testimony that Jesus can deal with the accuser's stones as well. As she got up, she saw Jesus. She also saw all those stones there. And the testimony of the stones is that Jesus will deal with those things that are crying out to you, saying, hey, look, you deserve to die. You've had too many things. There's no chance, no second chances for you. You've already taken up all the chances that you deserve. And now here Jesus is in that moment saying, I don't condemn you. Jesus was inviting her to come to him. Jesus set her free and he gave her an opportunity for new life. See, when you get to the feet of Jesus, you understand that Jesus has love like nobody else has love. As we look back at our text, as from when we opened up, the overlooked stone in this resurrection story in Mark 16. After they came to that stone, this angel, this man, met them there, and he told the women, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Now, Peter, he was the one who, if you know the story of Jesus, the story of the crucifixion, Peter said, I will never deny you, Jesus. Yeah, he was the one who in fact did deny Jesus. Three times he denied him at the time of his crucifixion. He was the one who had this great experience, all these great experiences with Jesus. He saw probably more than any other disciple saw of Jesus because he was so close. He was in the inner circle of the inner circle of Jesus. Peter was the one who had drawn so close to him, and Jesus had opened up things and divulged things to him that he had not divulged to any others. And yet, he failed Jesus. And now, this angel was standing there at the tomb and issuing his invite list to these women and telling them, go, tell the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee and Peter. A few pages earlier, you'll find Jesus speaking to Peter and calling him by that name, Peter. But Peter wasn't his given name. That wasn't the name that was given to him at birth. That was simply a moniker that Jesus had given him, meaning stone. That angel said, I want you to go talk to Peter, stone. Go tell him that he needs to go see Jesus too. See, for Peter, the most significant obstacle was not a giant physical stone that separated him from Jesus. For Peter, it wasn't even the accuser's stones of them telling him that he had made too many mistakes. For Peter, his biggest obstacle was himself. He was the stone. But Jesus said, you make sure that you go and tell stone, Peter, that I'm alive and that he needs to come and see me. When Peter heard this, his mind went back to Jesus' words, no doubt. Those words which said that Satan desires to have you. He's going to try to sift you as wheat. But I pray, Jesus speaking to Peter says, I pray that your faith would fail not. See, you might have gotten in your own way here today 10,000 times. But if you will just keep on coming toward Jesus in the darkness before sunrise, you'll find out that even your own propensity to mess up things time and time again cannot keep you from Jesus. Even your own propensity to make mistakes over and over again cannot keep you from Him. Ezekiel prophesied. He said, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Meaning that even in yourself, when you have a hardened heart, or you have this heart that keeps on going the wrong way and doing the wrong things, that he said, I can come in and give you a new heart. I can transform your life. When you keep getting in your own way, I can come in and give you new life. I can give you a new heart and a new journey. I'm telling you that you, even yourself, cannot get in the way of what Jesus wants to do in your life. In fact, Micah prophesied. He said, when or rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in the darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me. He says, yes, you may fall, but you look at the enemy when you fall. And you look in the mirror when you fall. And you say, when I fall, I'm gonna get back up. I'm not staying down. I shall arise. I'm not staying down on the ground. I may have tripped up. I may have fallen flat on my face, but I'm not staying there. I'm getting back up. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. You see, there's a story, if you're familiar with the book of Judges, and this man named Samson. He was a man that certainly got in his own way time and time and time again. He had this great calling on his life. He was destined to do great things, yet he kept pursuing things that he should not have pursued. It ended up costing him dearly. It cost him nearly everything in his life. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his strength. He lost even his sight as his eyes were plucked out by the enemy. But in the darkness, Samson continued to walk. In the darkness, Samson continued to trust God. See, Samson had been his own greatest obstacle. But God saw him get back up time and time again. And even in darkness, he trusted that he could see God do another work as long as he continued to walk. Scripture tells us that the last moments of Samson's life were the greatest victory that he ever experienced. That Samson continued to walk in darkness. That Samson, the one who kept getting in his own way, he continued to pursue God even at the end of his life. And in the end of his life, he saw that God was there. If our musicians could begin to make their way. See, Peter, he was told, upon this rock, I will build my church. Those were the words of Jesus before Jesus was ever crucified. But he told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. In other words, in that same conversation, he said, you hold the keys to the kingdom. Peter, you are going to unlock things that nobody else is going to unlock. Peter, you have the keys to the kingdom. You have the revelation of who I am. Because Peter, he had said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's Peter who was standing here, and he had been told to go and make his way to Jesus. And Peter, he did go, and he found Jesus. And we find Peter later on in his life, he writes these words in 1 Peter 2:5. Says, you also, speaking to the church, speaking to us today. Said, you also, you are living stones. You're being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There are stones that are testimonies. In fact, if we could, here today, stand to our feet as I bring this to a close. There are many in this house today who you came in hoping to meet Jesus, but you were unsure if it would even be possible. You were drawn to Jesus, but you are all too aware that there are obstacles that exist between you and Him. There are obstacles that you cannot move on your own. Stones that your accusers, they use them to remind you of your past. There are stones that cause you grief. There are stones that they bring anxiety when you think about them. There are stones that bear your shame. You're here today because you want to worship Jesus. You want to touch Jesus. You want to be in His presence. This is Resurrection Sunday. I want to go. And yet the stone weighs heavy on your mind. How am I going to deal with that? How can I really get to Jesus? Who's going to roll away the stone? If I can just encourage you today to keep on walking. If it feels as if you're surrounded by darkness right now, you still have that doubt in your mind, keep on walking. Sing a song to Him. Begin to worship Him even now with a stone in your mind's presence. Don't turn around right now. Don't walk away. Because what you'll find is that Jesus has already moved the stone. Jesus has already made a way for you to get access to His throne room. Jesus has already invited you in to where He's at here today. He's giving you access here this morning to His presence. I want to invite you to keep walking toward Him today. If you're walking in darkness, take those steps in faith, He's there with you. Romans tells us that because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. He's saying, I want to bring you into my presence. I want to give you access to me. He wants to give you access to his glory today, but it's going to take faith on your end. So I ask you here this morning, would you take a step toward him today? Would you make a move in the darkness? Would you let the testimony of the stones speak to you today, that what they thought would stop them from entering into that tomb had already been removed? And whatever you're afraid of hindering your worship today, just know he's already taken care of it. He's inviting you into his presence right now. I want to invite you to come as this worship team begins to sing in this place today. If you would like to come to this altar, I invite you to come. And this is not a place just for saying that we're all messed up, we're all wrong. This is a place just to come and to worship. If you want to stay where you're at, you could worship him as comfortably as you want. But I invite you to lift up your hands.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord.
To worship you, I live.